hiring is really challenging. I know from experience, but I also know there is one place that you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates, and that place is ZipRecruiter.com/clones. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As the applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through their site within the very first day. With results like that, it is no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest-rated hiring site in America. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/clones. ZipRecruiter.com/clones, C-L-O-N-E-S. ZipRecruiter.com/clones. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Third and final hour. Make damn sure it counts, clones. Let's make sure it counts. Going to the weekend, finish. Way back in hour number one, David Cutcliffe, the head football coach at Duke, came on, and we talked about the importance of finishing, right? Be detail-oriented. Finish. Finished. It doesn't matter what walk of life you're from, what your job is, what you do. Finish. Make sure you finish this hour. We are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. In about 15 minutes, a conversation with Fox Sports college football reporter Bruce Feldman. Bottom of the hour, I've got the week that was. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686. Really strange day. We talked about last night's action in the NFL, preseason action. In fact, let me just start right there as we start hour number three. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, I've got a phone line open. Use it. 1-800-636-8686. Let's talk Jets. I meant to get to this earlier. If there are two things that you can count on in football, the Jets are going to have a quarterback issue. We know that. Jets fans are going to freak out after last night's preseason game. We know that. New York played Washington. If the score mattered in that game, I would tell you the score. It doesn't matter. Here's the real scoreboard from last night. Sam Darnold, 8 for 11, 62 yards, one interception. Teddy Bridgewater, 10 for 15, 127 yards, one touchdown, one interception. That's what matters. This is where Jets fan loses his damn mind. Running around, tripping, screaming. What the hell do we do now? What do we do now? I'll tell you exactly what you do now. You settle the hell down. You relax. I know that's not your DNA, but I know that you were put on this earth to wait for the next Jets QB to mess the bed. I know that also, but wait. I also know you're not happy unless you hate your QB. You hate any QB you've ever had, not named Joe Namath and Boomer Esiason. I get all that. Just as I know you saw last night's game, and you saw Darnold, and you saw Bridgewater, and now you want to know the bottom line. You want to know who's going to start in week one. You want to know whether or not you let the kid go, or you let him sit and learn. You want to know whether or not it's going to be Bridgewater. Or is he a backup? Or do you try and flip him and get something for him? You want to know right now. You've got your take right now. You know the bottom line. Here's your bottom line. The bottom line is, there is no bottom line. The bottom line is, you can't have a bottom line after two preseason games. Not when you're dealing with a rookie, and not when you're dealing with a guy coming back from a serious knee injury. There is no bottom line yet. What they do know is this. Darnold has got some serious upside and potential. Also, we now know Teddy Bridgewater can take a hit. But anybody who is looking to make a declaration about trading Bridgewater or benching Darnold this early is working way too hard. It's not there. It's the second preseason game. The second. Many of the guys on the field last night, especially in the second half, are not going to be on the field in September. So as long as we're not taking the usual approach of freaking out after week two of the preseason, here's another idea. there's actually a chance that the Jets might have a good thing on their hands. Make it a couple of good things. Because there were moments last night where Sam Darnold looked like a rookie starting a preseason game, but there was also that drive where he went 5 for 5, where he looked like a guy that could be starting in week one. I mean, yeah, the guy's inexperienced. You know why he looked inexperienced? Because he is inexperienced. He said it as much himself. Remember, Sam Darnold, as gifted as this guy is, as composed as this guy is, he really still has not played a hell of a lot of football in his life.
Kind of well documented, but, you know, I only played really, you know, a year and three quarters of college football, and then, you know, played a year and a half of high school football. So every single game that I play is huge. You know, I feel like I'm going to continue to grow and get better every single day.
I mean, in a sense, the guy really hasn't even played 4 years of real football, right? Real football. So there were moments where you could see the potential. There were moments where he looked like the guy that could be the guy. And there were moments where you could see him not having a chance thanks to the Jets' offensive line and the skill outside. I mean, sure, in terms of Darnold, you don't want to see him taking a third down sack in the red zone. You don't want to see him throwing a pick in the red zone. Although it was fourth down, and according to Todd Bowles, it was a bad play call by the coaches. But overall, that was not a good enough performance to lock down the starting job for week one, and not a bad enough performance to disqualify him from starting in that week. It'll probably be his job to start the season, but if it isn't, there's no need to panic here. That's still the quarterback of your future. But last night, you also got to see another step for Teddy Bridgewater. Now, I never thought that I would say this about any player, but it was good to see that guy get hit. Good to see that guy taking a hit. Not that I was rooting for him to take a hit, but I was rooting to see whether or not that guy could take a hit and bounce right back up. And he did every single time. And it was even better to hear him say that he was looking to get hit, looking to take a shot. Quote, "I just wanted to get hit. I don't know if it's the right thing to do or say as a quarterback, but for me, it's just continuing to knock down that mental block. Hey, you can do this. Some of those plays, I could have thrown the ball away or run out of bounds, but I want to challenge myself and see if I could take a hit. It was fun. Get up, smile, tell the guys, hey, that was nothing. Next play." End quote. Truth. Next play. Next game. There was enough there to remind you of how good this guy was before that massive injury. How good he might still be. How good he could be yet again. But that's the kind of thing that Jets are going to have to roll with for a few weeks. And then they decide, you know, do we stay with this guy? Do we keep both these guys? Or do we try and trade him and get a draft pick? I don't know. Either way, it was good to see Teddy Bridgewater out there. Either way, it looks like he's going to help somebody, either them or somebody else. Again, Jets fan, I know you want to come in here and you want to say exactly how it is. You want to say exactly what time it is. You want to bottom line this. The bottom line is there is no bottom line. Not after two preseason games. Not when you're dealing with a rookie quarterback and not when you're dealing with a guy coming off a significant injury like Bridgewater. You want your bottom line? I'll give you your bottom line. The bottom line is not what you saw, but what you did not see. Bottom line, no Bryce Petty. Bottom line, no Brooks Bollinger. No Broadway, Browning, Nagel. I'm not going to say that either Darnold or Bridgewater is going to lead the Jets to a Super Bowl this season. But neither one of them look like Glenn Foley. That's a good thing. That's your bottom line. Because the real bottom line is there is no bottom line. Not yet. Not after 2 weeks. Stop looking for the bottom line, Jets fan. I like what I saw last night from both those guys. But nobody has really separated themselves yet. And then you've got 39-year-old Josh McCown as well. And you know exactly what you have in him. 1-800-636-8686. Bruce Feldman is coming up next segment. Let's go to the phones. It's been a weird day. Very strange day. We had Rex Albuquerque come in. He got run. We had FBI Mike from Toledo come in. He got run. Ken in Sacramento came in and said, hey, Rome, it's your own fault. You make it look easy. All these guys think they're comedians. And then Ken in Sacramento kept going on and on and on, and I had to take him down, or at least end it. The one shining moment today, Rick in Buffalo. He's become as close to a sure thing in the jungle as anything. Rick in Buffalo. This email, dear Rome, update. I plan on proposing to my girlfriend. Does anybody have any leftover SpaghettiOs? Yours, Ira. Aaron in Omaha. You know, I didn't know Ira was on Twitter. Has anybody seen Ira's smoking hot lady yet on Twitter? I can't find it. He did tweet it out, actually. All right, I'll look for that in a minute. Boy, it's a real mixed bag today. And by a mixed bag, I mean a mixed bag of crap. At least as the calls go. The week that was coming up bottom of the hour. Albie, how's that looking? Dude, it's great. All right, in the meantime, let's go to the phones. Oh, Wisco. So you may or may not know this, but the Rome family was in Wisconsin for an entire week. You may or may not know that. You probably know that because that's all I've talked about for the past week or so. There are other layers to this, other levels to this. Indirectly, another one of Wisco's finest have worked their way back. I was talking about Wisconsin. That Badger Mafia is incredible. The latest member of the Badger Mafia to indirectly reach out is none other than former NHL great Tony Granato. Tony Granato is the hockey coach at Wisconsin. Tony Granato comes from one of the finest hockey families ever. Certainly one of the finest American hockey families ever. As you probably know, NHLers are not in the Olympics. So who's the Olympic coach? Tony freaking Granato, if you need him. If you're an old school jungle listener, you might remember back in the day when 99 came to L.A. and we were carried on a radio station in San Diego that had the Kings rights. We talked Kings hockey all the time. Tony Granato always came on. Tony Granato came on this show. Tony Granato came on our TV shows. And it worked its way back to me. Tony said, hey, I understand that you were in Wisconsin. I understand that your son's thinking about coming to Wisconsin. If you need anything at all, here I am. I love Tony Granato. Great, great player. Great coach. Great leader. Cammy Granato. It's just amazing family. That Badger Mafia, that Badger family is amazing. It just keeps showing up in different ways every single day. They're everywhere. Kelly Call, CBS Entertainment President, Badger. Tony Granato, Badger. Paul Crist, Badger. They're everywhere. The Onion originated in Madison. We had a Madison tour stop back in the day. So I don't know. I can't tell the kid where to go to college, but Wisconsin is on the short list. My son, Jake Rome, senior in high school. Southern California native, thinking about humping it to the Midwest to go to Wisconsin. It's on the short list. On that note, we need a short timeout. I've got Bruce Feldman coming up next. If you're on hold, do not hang up. I need somebody on the phones to pick us up with a strong third-hour phone call. Rick in Buffalo took care of the second hour. Now I need a third-hour phone call. Somebody. You know, there's something to be said for being the best. You know, you've outrun, outpaced, outsmarted the competition. Elite athletes know that you cannot be the best until you have beaten the best. If you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong. You need to stay strong. Take Castrol Edge. It is the strongest full synthetic motor oil. It's engineered with fluid titanium technology to reduce power-robbing friction and to maximize engine performance. Did you know that friction can rob 10% of performance from your engine? 10%. I mean, as another example, imagine being lined up across the bar from somebody who's at 100% peak capacity, but you're at what, 90? Advantage that guy. Castrol Edge is strong under pressure. It reduces friction, so your engine can perform at its highest level. It's not only strong, it's three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test. That's the strength that your engine needs to perform at the highest level and keep you living on the edge. Castrol Edge. Stronger under pressure. Castrol Edge.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Once again, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. You can get guaranteed low prices. You can get excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We are currently efforting Bruce Feldman. I'm going to talk to him about the situation at Ohio State. Urban Meyer. You know, the longer that thing goes, it seems to me, the more likely it is that he's not going anywhere at all. We will get into that. I want to talk to him about the situation at Maryland. Are they an outlier program, or is that sort of thing going on elsewhere also? So we are efforting Bruce Feldman. I will run him down momentarily. As I'm looking for him, I am also looking for telephone calls. I found Iray on Twitter. He did tweet a picture of his girlfriend, as he promised. You're welcome to check that out yourself. Alvin has been grinding out the week that was. My first week back after 2 weeks off, so I know Alvin is locked in. In case you missed it, Friday, we started the show off, and you got to look behind the other side of the glass. Because it's Friday, the flight deck is here. Because Chael Jr. is not here, Ross from Friends is here. It's been that kind of day. But as I mentioned, we are joined right now by a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1, a writer for The Athletic, a New York Times bestselling author of The QB, among other titles. My guest is Bruce Feldman. Hey, Bruce, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Good to be on with you.
Good to have you on, Bruce. Let me start first with Ohio State, because back on August 1st, Ohio State, Bruce, announced that they were investigating what Urban Meyer knew about the Zach Smith allegations, and when he knew it, then on August 5th, the school said that it expected that investigation, Bruce, to be finished in 2 weeks, which would be Sunday, but now Ohio State University President Michael Drake has said that it will be finished when it's finished. So what, if anything, do you take away from all of that?
I don't know what to make of it, to quite honestly, Jim. I mean, everything I had started to, you know, I felt like it was trending in the direction of, unless there's some kind of smoking gun documentation that they found in this investigation that Urban Meyer had intentionally misled his superiors at Ohio State, or he didn't follow proper protocols and procedures, which, by the way, he said in that statement he tweeted out a couple weeks ago that he did, that he was going to keep his job. Now, I don't think any of this changes how I thought about it. I just think that, you know, the president was trying to maybe cool off people who are expecting something to come down if there's some kind of document dump that's going to happen, you know, later today. Because no matter what happens, it's going to be a PR nightmare for this school.
Bruce Feldman joining us. You know, Bruce, on top of that, he seems to be arguing, Urban, I mean, that technically he did what he was required to do. But when you take a step back, why was an assistant coach who had a number of incidents with law enforcement, including the recently uncovered DUI from 2013, why was that guy still on that staff, and why did Meyer keep him around?
Look, that's the million-dollar, maybe it's the $38 million question here is, when you talk about, and you're Urban Meyer, and say, you know, a big part of your mission statement is honesty and a zero tolerance for domestic violence and violence against women. And then you have this guy in your staff, and there was the 2009 incident, and then there was other allegations. I think the question's going to be, what did they find in these other allegations that the police investigated? You know, Urban Meyer, did he have knowledge of this DUI? Is it possible that Zach Smith, who clearly is not, you know, the highest moral character guy around, is it possible he hid this from his bosses at Ohio State, being the DUI? Is it possible that the police, you know, thoroughly investigated these allegations from the ex-wife and found they weren't credible? And then maybe Ohio State looked at it and go, okay, we're not going to fire him based on allegations that police didn't find credible. So you know, having said all that, the part I think needs to be sorted out also is Urban Meyer fired Zach Smith the night before SEC Big Ten Media Days in Chicago a month ago. What was it that changed that caused him to fire him? I mean, there's a lot we don't know, and we don't know that part of it. Was it something where they confronted Zach Smith with some of these questions when it raised to a higher level, and that they didn't feel like Zach Smith was credible or his story matched up? We don't know what changed. And I think at some point, hopefully there'll be transparency, whatever they find in this investigation, but also what exactly did Urban Meyer and Gene Smith, his boss, feel like caused them to finally pull the trigger and get rid of Zach Smith?
Bruce Feldman joining us. You know, Bruce, finally then, with Ohio State, they were successful before Urban Meyer. It stands to reason that Ohio State football is going to be successful after Urban Meyer. In your opinion, what would it say about Ohio State if they decide to keep him? How would that look?
Well, I think it would be a tough look for a lot of people going, wait a minute, is this guy a hypocrite? And this guy is 73-8. Since he's been there, he led him to a national title. With the exception of Nick Saban, he is the best coach in college football. And there's going to be a lot of people who are going to say it all just came down to this guy was too good of a coach for them to fire, and they were selling their soul for winning. The part I would give Ohio State some credit for on this is also the school that once did fire Woody Hayes, and they did fire Jim Tressel. And Jim Tressel was also at the top of his game. He led him to a national title. And by the way, Jim Tressel got fired for something a lot less, I don't want to say serious, but a lot less significant in the grand scheme of things than domestic violence, some of the issues that are tied to Zach Smith. So, you know, we got to wait and see what Ohio State not only does, but also how they explain it. Because I think Ohio State's a great job and all. But the reality is, I don't think they're going to get a coach as good as Urban Meyer to step in there. So certainly nowhere near as accomplished, because the only guy who's in college football who's as accomplished or more is Nick Saban, and he's not going to Columbus. And a lot of the other guys who were, if you make a list of the top 7 or 8 coaches in college football, yeah, Ohio State's a great job, but I don't think David Shaw's going there. I don't think Chris Peterson's going there. Jimbo Fisher's not going there. Dabo Sweeney's not going there. And like I said, Nick Saban's not going there. So, yeah, I'm sure they could find another really good coach, but the idea that they would find somebody anywhere near as accomplished as Urban Meyer to me is a long shot.
We are talking to Bruce Feldman. All right, Bruce, let me ask you about Maryland before you go. Offensive lineman Jordan McNair collapsed in late May. He passed away 2 weeks later. When you hear the stories about the toxic culture there, how unusual does it sound to you? For instance, is Maryland an outlier as a program, or might there be other programs and cultures like Maryland than we care to admit?
I think it's the latter. I really think there are other football programs that have some similarities to how some of their staff treats, disciplines some of their players. It's in some regard, you have this tough guy demeanor of grueling off-season workouts, and it's been romanticized in books like The Junction Boys and, you know, way back with Bear Bryant. Everybody talks about pushing guys beyond the limits they even thought they had. What's different here is that you had a tragedy that is attached to it. If these allegations came out and there was no Jordan McNair story connected to it, I'm not sure it rises to the level of here you had, these are disgruntled players and disgruntled former staffers. And you could find that at programs certainly all over the place. But what's different is you have a tragedy. You also have a lawsuit that's coming down the pipeline. And this is where I think it's going to be such a long shot for DJ Durkin to ever coach another game in Maryland, is because when you see the Good Morning America interview from Jordan McNair's parents and how they said that they do not think that DJ Durkin should be coaching college kids again, it's a pretty damning soundbite. And I just don't know how Maryland, no matter what they find in their investigation, can bring DJ Durkin back, because, you know, the soundbite of Jordan McNair's dad saying he sat in our kitchen and he told us he would take care of our son and now our son is dead, or something along the, you know, I'm paraphrasing that. ooh, that is such a powerful and damning soundbite. You know, I don't know how Maryland could bring DJ Durkin back, how they can have him go out on the road and do more in-home visits. I mean, yeah, the trainers clearly screwed up, and there are other issues there. But at the end of the day, the head coach is the head coach, and he's the face of the program. And when that's the big takeaway on such a national stage, it's almost impossible to imagine a scenario where he comes back.
You know, I can't see how he comes back. Bruce, and I can't see how he's a head coach anywhere else for that matter. You mentioned this notion of the head coach and how much power the head coach has. When you look at Ohio State and you look at Maryland situations, I mean, could you see any scenario where universities start to say the head coaches actually have too much power and we're going to have to require more oversight of the programs, or is that simply just not possible?
I don't know if it's that possible or practical, because these head coaches are making $6, $7, $8 million in some cases, and they're the most powerful people in the state. And it just to think that there would be some measure of keeping them in check on another degree. Yeah, in theory, that sounds great. I'm just not sure how well that works. And in the case of that's going on at Ohio State and Urban Meyer, I would like to think that some of that is because we as a society have gotten more, we've smartened up about the realities and some of the issues and the significance of the issue of domestic violence. And I think that in 2009, which is almost a decade ago when this first, you know, happened with Zach Smith, I think it was a back burner issue. And I think people didn't take it with the same level of severity. I think we've evolved and come a lot further in that regard. To me, this part of it compared to the issue at Maryland, I think is a lot more real for people to be able to kind of go, okay, we're going further with it. And I think you'll see a different level of scrutiny and accountability. And I think that message can be conveyed to college coaches and around college athletic departments. The part about, you know, where's the line where a staff crosses, again, and you take the tragedy of Jordan McNair out of it, just say in terms of, you know, how college coaches and staffers deal with college football players and college athletes. I think that one's a little more of a slippery slope.
Bruce, one quick topic before you go, because you had a chance to sit down and spend a little time with the head football coach at FAU, Lane Kiffin. I've got to know, how is Lane doing these days?
He's got a really good team, so he's pretty happy. And I think he knows, you know what, I can keep myself in this program nationally relevant. He does it with his Twitter feed. He does it because of his personality. He does it because of his persona, you know. And you can sit there and say, ah, you know what, Lane Kiffin says a lot of stuff. I'm not sure how much he believes. I'm not sure how much we believe. But, you know, we talked a lot about him on social media. And just, you know, he's like, hey, I'm having fun with it. I think sometimes people take what he says more literally and seriously than he probably does. And you're saying, well, you're a head football coach of a program and you're, you know, $1 million employee. Shouldn't you take your message more seriously than that? But his perspective is a little different on it. I think he realizes that, you know, I brought a lot of attention to this school that before nobody knew about. And so I think he's kind of celebrating that. And like I said, he's got a good team. They play Oklahoma week one. They're going to play on the road. And I think just from watching them in person, I think this team is going to keep it really competitive. And the longer Lane Kiffin can do stuff like that, the more people, the harder it is for people to write him off as kind of a clown or something. I mean, he's a good football coach. There was nothing fluky about how many games they won last year. I think that was probably more impressive than anything Lane Kiffin's ever done. And I think right now people are still trying to kind of reconcile how they should feel about him just because he's so different from everybody else and how he conducts himself.
It really, really quick. I mean, people are trying to figure out how to feel about him. How does he feel about himself? As an example, this is a guy who went from USC to the Oakland Raiders to Tennessee to USC to Alabama offensive coordinator to FAU. I mean, what's your sense as to where he is right now and what's he make of that entire journey?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about his low point and being at USC, and he talked about being, you know, selfish and his ego and having to kind of rein that all in. And he said, you know, in his mind, it had always been about, hey, I'm going to help the players get better in football. And he, I think, has kind of seen, at least how he puts it, seen another side to this about what he needs to do for them in their lives because he's responsible for them. And so on that side, he's saying all the right things, you know, and it seems like he has some perspective on it. Now, are the actions always going to match up with some of the stuff he'll tell you on camera? I mean, that's open to debate, and we got to see more of it from him. But it is interesting because when you talk to him, he will go down those road, you know, in his head of here's where I was, you know, here's what I've learned. And he's not 35 and he's not this hot young assistant coach anymore. And I think there are some scars there. There's certainly some emotional scars from it. You know, we're going to have an interesting sit down with him on our pregame on Fox week one. And I think people will see a little of that. And you can be cynical about Lane Kiffin. It's very easy to be that way. But I think you kind of get a little more sense of at least he has some self-awareness in there, which I think that kind of surprised myself as well as our producer when we had this long conversation with him on camera.
I'll look forward to that. He's a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1, a writer for The Athletic, New York Times bestselling author of The QB, among other titles. Bruce Feldman, my guest. Bruce, great to have you back on. Thank you so much. Great talking to you.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jim.
All right, Bruce. Have a great weekend. Thank you. When we return, last segment of the week, it's going to be the week that was, the ATP, huge call, and one more shot for you to get through. All right, first things first, let me hit that ATP, Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Carl in Parker, Colorado. Jimmy, what's a post-vacation weekend look like for you? Do you get a chance to catch your breath and kick back and slam a few martinis? Or are you handed a to-do list and it's right back to the family grind? Yes. Yes. Carl, which question? Yes. You know, I mean, we absolutely right back to the grind. I'll probably throw down an adult beverage. I'll probably work the to-do list. And absolutely, it's back to the grind for all of us. You know that. Clones, what are you doing this weekend? What do you do post-vacation weekend? Man, you just jump right back into it. In fact, the last weekend, post-vacation weekend, was right back into it. So that's the answer, Carl. Yes to all the above. Probably an adult beverage. Probably a to-do list, probably show prep. The one thing that I have to get back on is the workout regimen, man. I've been grinding, trying to. That's the one thing. Like, I can get back to the work grind and pick up where I left off, but the workout after the Wisconsin bender has been pretty challenging. I can't lie about that. Everything else, status quo. SOP, standard operating procedure. Adam Hawk. Let's go to the phones, right? Huntington Beach. All right, so there's been a lot of talk about IRA and what happened to IRA. Silk Bra goes way back with IRA. Long Beach is not far from Huntington Beach. I would imagine the Bra's got a take or two about IRA. Let's find out. Silk, what's up?
Hey, what's up, bro? How you doing?
Dude, so seriously, I'm great. What do you make? What did you think when IRA called up and said, hey, I'm on the streets? Did that surprise you? Did that not surprise you? And what do you think about the reaction?
It didn't surprise me because IRA does things in sort of a he's like a modern version of like Jack Kerouac or something, you know. He's always been kind of that way. Now I'm not equating a kind of alternative party vagabond lifestyle with homelessness. I don't want to, you know, downgrade people who are in a tough spot and, you know, live in shelters and things like that. And Orange County's got a bit of a homeless problem. A lot of us know that. But IRA, I think, does it because when he says it's kind of by choice, I know that sounds odd. But if you know IRA, I remember when we used to do the clone stops and tour stops like down in San Diego, and IRA and I would drive down together. Well, actually, I would drive because I always had a new car and IRA didn't. But it was always shoestring and by the seat of our – I'm like, so where are we going to stay? Right. Oh, bro, don't worry, man, don't worry. Like, you know, the things with Piazza.
Silk. This just in. Sorry about this, bro. You're done. Anyway, let's go to the week that was. Sorry about that, bro. I wanted to get you in there, but, man, you got to get to it. Alvin, roll it. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. It is good to be back. Lots to get done. Lots to cover. I know I missed a lot while I was down in the basement for the past 2 weeks, so let's get this thing going. Where are you clones at? Come and get some. Wisco clones. You outdid yourselves. Man, that is such an awesome state. We had so much fun in Wisconsin. All right, let me start first with the PGA Championship. Yeah! He is the walking, talking, living, breathing embodiment of leaderboard. Look up at it.
Tiger makes a birdie. Everybody at the golf course cheers for him.
Yes, Tiger's the better story. Koepka is the better player. In fact, they're all looking up at this guy because he's a monster. Wisconsin was amazing. It lived up to everything. Nothing ever lives up to the hype. Wisconsin did. Everything about it. So to answer your question, did I get fat? Hell yes, I got fat.
Badass.
Trevor Price is my guest.
Jordan McNair was recruited by every school in this part of the country. North Carolina, Penn State, whatever, whatever. Jordan McNair's parents don't have another child. He's their only one. If Jordan McNair had went to Penn State, he'd still be alive.
Dale Murphy, what are you listening to these days?
I'm a big Wilco fan. And I try to stay current. My kids keep me current. John Prine. Lord Huron. Rolling Blackout. Coastal Fever.
Emails. I don't have back trunk, but could suck some of that fat out with my front trunk. Signed, Adelephant.
Hello.
And that's how I know I'm officially back from vacation.
Oh, the Siegfried and Royd one. That one was funny, too.
Royd? Andy is going to take her shot. Let's find out.
I like.
You like what?
My basil.
I made the decision to step away from coaching.
Was this
a year
not
ago,
the same guy family, that one of the reasons he left Florida was, quote, I didn't like the state of college football? My man, you are the state of college football.
Twitter.
That baloney has a first name. It's URBAN. Baloney has a second name. It's MEYER. Signed, The Earth. Scott Frost, our guest.
I know at Nebraska, we're never going to swear at kids and MF kids. We're never going to try to intimidate and motivate through intimidation. And, hey, you know, this is a new day and age, and I think things have changed.
Great talking to you, Scott.
Hey, man, has anybody ever told you that when they're on your show, they find themselves talking faster because you talk fast?
I mean, I can remember being a little kid, 7 years old, crying when we lost that national championship. And now that Scott Frost is back, it's just, I mean, there's no way that he won't bring us back to that prominence.
Hey, Casey, Casey. War me and my fiance. War Scott Frost.
Scott Frost, dad.
With the backflip. What was Bodie supposed to do after that walk-off? Choke on his spit and say, well, Bob, Lawrence, what's going on?
Welcome back. Your dreams when you were out. Welcome back.
Frank Nitti, my guest. Denzel Valentine tells you he plays in the NBA.
It was actually, I'll make millions. I'm going to show you why I'm in the NBA. It was a little more ballsy, but excuse my French. I love it. Oh, my God. Like, he's talking to Frank.
But I don't wish your success at the expense of my demise. You try that, I'm going to take you out.
The university assess legal.
Yesterday's press conference is not getting out in front of it. They are still months behind it. So no credit for Maryland. A student died months ago on your watch. Delaney Walker. So you celebrated your birthday on Sunday.
I got a lot of old man jokes. A lot of guys kept telling about I was on the original All Madden.
And just being honest about it, Flacco sucks.
Hey!
I played him 2 years in a row. He sucks.
Who?
Romy, I'm basically a vagabond indigent artist. I'm basically, like, homeless. Yeah, I live on the streets, pretty much. So there you go, clones. I'm not using a shrimp for a Bluetooth or a cockroach for a harmonica yet.
Emailed.
IRA upgraded to cigarette butts as Apple AirPods. Mike in Philly.
Tom Sewell makes Bellicho. You know, somebody actually answers questions. I mean, it's unbelievable. You listen to Tom Sewell.
Slow down, brother. All right, now you're done. Is there anybody anywhere who has a sophisticated enough palate to taste the difference between a fresh Bud Light and a stale Bud Light? Dr. Dave in Chicago.
I see more crap spewing from Urban, DJ Durkin, and Joe Pod than from a wrecked in Albuquerque molten lava growler.
But Dave, no matter what you do going forward, you will always be known for...
sorry, Jim. I'm done.
First pitch, hit him.
What we should be talking about right now is Ronald Acuna. But instead, we're talking about the cowards who couldn't get him out.
You gotta hit him. I mean, people are not gonna like that.
People are not gonna like that. You know why? Because it's stupid. Paul Christ.
You know, as a team, we talk about it all the time. The best way we can show thanks is doing the best we can playing the game the right way.
The flight deck and Ross from Friends are in the house today. Bucky Brooks is my guess. Maybe Ramsey added a third category. Trucks, trailers, and trash. Could not have been any more clear.
Yeah, he has a point.
Not only can I measure my launch angle.
Spin cycle with Marty McFly sitting at it.
The dipping ain't easy, and it's hard out here for Pimp.
A dumpster fire.
Sending pics for the simulcast. I don't think he was looking for ones from our senior prom. Your date looked to be about a 3.5.
Don't jerk with Skycaps.
All right, Roman. Thanks for having me, man.
Cleveland was a shithole.
Drew Bynum.
My bad.
Woo-hoo! Meow.
Love to talk to you and always love to listen.
Val Kimmer.
I'm glad y'all have me.
Kelly Call.
It was awesome seeing you, Jim. Thanks.
I'm trying, Jennifer.
Finish.
Good night now!
If you're a contractor, a builder, or a remodeler, listen up, because Lumber Liquidators is about to make your job a whole lot easier. LL Pro Plus is Lumber Liquidators' new pro services team that gives you the pro exclusive deals and services for all of your professional flooring needs. Put the flooring experts on your team today. Visit your local Lumber Liquidators store or go to Lumber Liquidators.